Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in the sixth parak of Nazir, in the middle of the third Mishnah, which is divided up, broken up into three segments, and Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph, discussing hair care of the Nazir. Nazir chofef umefasfes avalos sorek. A Nazir may shampoo his hair, he may arrange it with his hands, but he may not use a comb. So chofef umefasfes, Mani, so who could be the author of that part of the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon he. Rabbi Shimon that we're familiar with throughout Shas, specifically in Moed, Damar Davar Sheni Mitkaven Mutar. Rabbi Shimon places significant amount of significance on intent, and therefore if you take an action with when your intent is to do a permissible thing, even though the result may end up being prohibited, it's still permissible. Therefore, a person, Nazir, may shampoo his hair, even though he may inadvertently pull a hair out. So, avalos sorek, look at the end of the Mishnah, ata an l'rabbanan. So, that sounds like the Rabbanan of Rabbi Shimon, who say, davar shemitkaven asur, because you comb your hair, it's not necessarily, we think, the intention to pull hairs out, but it may happen. So, Reisha Rabbi Shimon, Reisha of Sefer Rabbanan, are we going to claim that our Mishnah is split in two, with opposite sides in each clause? Amar Rabba, kul Rabbi Shimon, he says, no, it's all Rabbi Shimon, kol hasorek, lasir nimin meduldalot, mitkaven. That anyone who combs his hair really is intending to not just put things in place, but also to clear out hair that is loose and is going to come out. Which means that combing, by definition, at least the way they presented it, is intended towards removing some hair. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon will say that that's prohibited. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, this is the end of Mishnah Gimel, lo yachuf ba'adama. He should not, even though he may shampoo his hair, he may not shampoo it with earth. They used to use that. Some people still use mud baths and all sorts of other treatments for their skin. Because earth ends up pulling the hair out. Now, the question is, what's the wording of the Mishnah? Is it the way that our Mishnah reads, that you cannot use earth because it pulls out hair? Or is it as a protection against, or on account of, those circumstances where it pulls it out? Now, what's the difference between reading it one way or the other? The answer is going to ikadama de lo mitra. If you have earth that does not pull out hair, very soft earth or particular kind, if you read the Mishnah saying you cannot use earth because it does pull out hair, echdiyadinun de lo matra shapir. If you have earth that you know doesn't pull out the hair, then it's fine. If you're going to say it's on account of the concern of that particular kind that pulls it out, then you can't use any earth, even the kind that's soft, as a precaution against the other kind. Which is it? The answer is teiku, we do not know. Okay, now we get into the issue of multiple liabilities for a repeat of a single violation of Nazirut. Nazir Shaya Shotek Kol Hayom. If a Nazir was drinking wine all day, and there's testimony to that, Enoche Avel Achat. The assumption here is that somebody warned him and said, you're a Nazir, you're not allowed to do that, and he drinks, and he continues drinking. As much as he drinks, there's one liability. Amrulo Altishteh, but if he drank, they warned him and said, don't drink, you're a Nazir, you're liable for Makot, and he drank, and then they warned him again, and he drank. Chayav Kol Achat Ve'Achat, then each episode of drinking after the Hatra, after the warning, it creates a separate liability for Makot. Now, Hayam Galeach Kol Hayom, if somebody was shaving, cutting his hair now, cutting his hair then, etc. And again, we have to presume that at some point there's one warning given to him. Amrulo al-tgaleach, but if each time he's cutting his hair, he's warned, don't cut, then he's liable for each one. Hayam etam elamaitim kol hayom, and this is the one that Gemara is going to pick up on. If he was involved with the dead all day, in a chayav alachat, and again, presuming there was one warning at the beginning, do not come in contact with the dead, for that's a violation. Amrulo al tatameh v'humetameh, if they warned him several times, and each time he came in contact with the dead, he went into an ohel ameit, he touched a mate, chayav kol achat v'achat, then he's liable for each one. Now, we're not addressing the issue of stira here. We're not at all addressing the issue of canceling out the days of Nazirut, just the problem of the violation and the liability for same. Now, Itmar, we have the following statement in the name of Rav Huna, but we have a machloket between Rabbah and Rav Yosef about what Rav Huna meant. I'm a Rav Huna, so this is the first version. Mikra Malei Dibar Katuv. The text spoke quite explicitly. Torah says about a Nazir, Lo Yitameh, he may not defile himself for his parents. But it also says in the previous pasuk, Shuomer, Lo Yavo, Al Kol Naf Shot Meit Lo Yavo, he shall not enter. So the assumption here is that that means entering into an Ohal Hamet. Why are there two express prohibitions? L'hazhiro al hatuma, l'hazhiro al habia. To warn against both tumat maga, touching a mate, and also tumat bia, coming into an ohel hamate. Aval tuma v'tuma lo. Now this is Rabba's take on Rav Huna. He says, but if you're already tame maga, to touch another mate is not a separate violation. Rav Yosef Amar HaElohim, Rav Yosef took an oath and said, Amar Rav Huna afilu tuma v'tuma. Rav Huna, when he said lo yitame v'lo yavo, means it's not just there to say that if you have tumat maga and then tumat ohel, that those are separate violations, but even tumat maga, you touched a mate and then touched another mate, those are separate violations as well. The Amar Rav Huna, and how do we know that Rav Huna meant that? Nazir shaya omed bevet hakvarot, if a nazir was in a cemetery, v'hishitu lo meito umet acher, and they handed him a dead body, his own dead relative, another mate, it doesn't matter who it is, v'nagabo chayav, he's liable for touching him, even though, meaning, while he's in the Beit HaKvarot, which means there are multiple tumot, even though it's all tumat maga. Amai, hametame v'kayim, why is he liable for touching the mate that they handed him when he's in the Beit HaKvarot? He's already tame in the Beit HaKvarot. Halalav shma mina, must be the Rav Huna himself said, Am Rav Huna afilu tuma v'tuma, that even when you are tame, tumat maga, then, and you touch another mate, there's still a separate violation. So now, etave Abaye. Abaye turned to his Rebbe Rav Yosef and challenged his read of Rav Huna. Kohen shayalo meit munach al ktefo. If a kohen was carrying a dead body, voshitu lo meito meit acher, and they handed him another dead body, his own relative, even somebody else, v'nagabo, yachol yehi chayav. I might think that the kohen has violated lo yitama bal ba'amav. Tamud lomar v'lo yichalel. The Torah says lo yitama and lo yichalel. He cannot defile. Meaning, b'misha eino mechulal. It only applies to somebody who's not currently defiled. Yatzazeshu mechulal v'omeh. This fellow's already defiled. He's holding on to a mate. So if he touches another dead body, there is not a new violation. He's already tamei mate. So that's how Abaye challenged Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answered back and said, Amar le v'tik shilach matnitin. Why are you challenging me from there? Challenge from the Mishnah. Meaning, challenge that reading about the Kohen. Don't read that as a challenge to me. Read that as a challenge to the Mishnah. Sorry, that's more correct. The last clause in our Mishnah said that if you have multiple occasions of touching a mate and they warn you in between each time, you're liable for each one. So of Hamai, Hamitom Yokaim, according to you, Abai, he's already Tomei, so why is he Chayav? Alakasha Adadi, so we have a challenge between the ruling about the Kohen, that bright about the Kohen, and our Mishnah. So Lokasha, here's how we answered. Kan Bechiburin, Kan Shalom Bechiburin. If you're holding on, as the case explicitly said, in the Kohen, you're holding on to a mate, you're touching him currently, you're Mechubar, and you touch another mate, there's no added Tuma, you're already fully Tomei. But the case in our Mishnah could be, and likely is, where you touched a mate, and you're not touching a mate, and touch another mate. So when you touch the second mate, you're not touching the first mate, and therefore each touch is considered to be a separate violation, and if there's a warning in between, that's a separate liability. So that's how Rav Yosef answers it. So the Gemara then asks, V'tuma b'chiburin d'oraita? Do you think that this notion that touching a mate makes you, the connection to the mate makes you in any way different than somebody who touched a mate and let go? In other words, connection to the mate puts you in a different status, d'oraita, that there would not be separate makot in that case? Ha'amar of Yitzchak bar Yosef and Rav Yanai, we have the ruling that says, Lo amru tuma b'chiburin ela l'truma v'kodashim. The ruling of tuma b'chiburin only applies to truma and kodashim, meaning if you're touching a mate, and at the same time you touch them truman kachim, then you render them as being connected, and on that level of tuma. Aval a nazir also pesach lo. But let's say there's a nazir and talking about tumat mate, or somebody who's on his way to do a korban pesach, and he's not going to be able to do the korban pesach. We render him tameh in that case. We don't use tuma b'chibur, and we don't apply it. The amar d'oraita. If you think the tuma b'chibur is d'oraita, so ma'ishna. We can't distinguish between truman kachim on one hand and nazir also pesach on the other. If truma b'chiburin is a real, legitimate concept, has to be applied across the board. So he answers as follows: Kan b'chiburei adam be'adam, kan b'chiburei adam b'meit. Chiburei adam be'adam, meaning a person is touching another live person who is a tamei. That's tuma b'chiburin d'rabbanan, and in that case, we only apply it to truma b'kodshim and not to nazir v'osa pesach. But chiburei adam b'meit, which means a man is touching a mate, that is a chibur d'oraita, and therefore, Rav Yosef's distinction between the Braita and the Mishnah, and which defends his own position, still stands, which is in the Braita, when the Kohen does not gain any more defilement by touching another mate, it's because he's holding on to a mate. That's Tumat, that's Chibur Adam B'mate. But the case in our Mishnah is where you touched a mate, and then you let go and touched another mate, and that's the anal chiburin, and the tumah b'chiburin in that case with the kohen would be the oraita. Well, tumah b'tumah lo, but remember that Rabba's position was that only tumah v'bia, meaning tumat maga and ohel, can add onto the one onto the next, but not tumat maga and another tumat maga. That's Rabba's position. Tahame tameh v'kaim, you're already tameh. So tumah bia nami hametameh v'kaim, that doesn't make sense, because if you touch a mate, you're tameh, then you go into an ohel, you're not more tameh, the same problem exists. In other words, how can you distinguish between maga plus maga versus maga plus ohel? If the reasoning behind maga plus maga being just one, not two, is you're already tameh, well, maga plus ohel or ohel plus maga, you're also already tameh. So there's nothing to add. So we're going to now try a whole bunch of different attempts to reconstruct a situation where tumat maga and tumat bia could come simultaneously, and therefore we wouldn't say you're already tummy when the second one came. Amrav Yochanan kan bayit kan besadeh. He says, yes, when you're in a house, it's possible to have maga and ol happen at the same time. Out in the field, you touch the mate, you're already taunt maga. You're right. So, babayi nami, even in the house, it doesn't work. Why? Kamen da ayel yode istayev. The minute you walk in with your hands in front of you, you already have tumat ol. Kaya kule hai tamehu. So when you walk in, you're already tame, and when you touch the mate, you're adding on. Just it should be tame v'kayim. So that doesn't work. Ela Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Tzireif Yado, Mishum Tuma Ika, Mishum Bialeika. He has an interesting approach, which is if you keep your hands at your sides, when you walk in, there is no Tumat Ohel. Vetzireif Gufo Tuma Obia Bahadi Adadikatu. So if you have your hands together, it's one thing, but if you have your hands at your side and you walk it as one body, then Tuma and Bia happen together. That's, he said, the Gemara says, Ha'if Shardlo Ayo Chotma Bereisha. Even that's impossible. Because your nose is going to come in before the rest of your body comes in. V'nachit le tumas, so you already have tumat ohel. Ala amarava, hichnis yado, if you put your hand in, mishum tumaika, mishum bialeika. Hichnis kufof, put your whole body in, tuma obia bahadia dadikatin. If you could find a way for your entire body to come in at one time. Ha'if Shardlo Ayo Etzba to the Kare Bereisha. But still, your toe comes in first. Some part of your body comes in first. V'nachat lehu tuma. And the idea is that when your hand comes in, it immediately touches the mate. So maga and bia at the same time. El amar Rav Papa, that doesn't work. So Rav Papa comes with a new circumstance, one that we've seen before. When shenichnas b'shidat teva umigdal. He was brought in a box in such a way, and this is discussed in all sorts of contexts of bringing Kohanim into Chutz Laaretz, into a box, like a sedan, in such a way that Tumat Ohel doesn't apply, because it's an Ohel inside of the Ohel. It's Chutzetz Bifnei Atuma. So he's brought in, Uvach Chavero Para Alav Atama Ziva. And somebody else came and took off the bottom part, so he was exposed to the Ohel as he touched. The two mobi abadiyad adikatya, and then they happen simultaneously. We have an alternative good answer, Mabravashi Amar, when the ayok shu goses, and this really would be the most reasonable answer, he walked into the ohel as the person was dying. He wasn't dead yet. V'nafak nishmate adiyativ, he sat down, and just at that moment, the fellow died. And so the two mobi abadiyad adikatyan. And now we've constructed a case where you could have two men be happening simultaneously, so you couldn't say when one happened, the other had already been in effect and he was already Tomei V'Kayim. So we've somehow defended Rabba's read of Rav Huna to say there could be a distinction between Tuma and Bia that could happen simultaneously, as opposed to Maga and then Maga, that according to Rabba's taken Rav Huna, are not added violations. All right, Tanu Rabbanan. We're picking up on the issue here of the goses, lahechalo. The prohibition of a kohen being metame is lahechalo. Ad sha'ash yamut, meaning until the moment of death. That's Tanakam, that's Chachamim. And they say that the kohen is allowed to involve himself with somebody who's sick until the moment of death. Rabbi Omer, he quotes instead from Nazir, bimotam itma. If he has any contact with them when they're dead, he becomes tamei. Ad shiamut, not until the moment of death, but until the event of death. My benayu. So, what's the difference between Rebbe and Chachamim? And Rabbi Yochanan mashmal dorshinika benayu. Rabbi Yochanan said there is no difference. Just which pasuk you prefer to learn it from? Rish Lakish Amar. No, he says look carefully, and you'll see that there is a difference. Gosei sika benayu. According to Rish Lakish, Rebbe and Chachamim are disagreeing about the permission to be in contact with a gosei, somebody who is in the process of dying but is not yet dead. According to Chachamim, he's not allowed to. Ad sha'ash yamut, according to Rebbe, he's allowed to because he hasn't yet died. L'manda mar milahe chalo afilu goseis. Even a goseis you're not allowed to have contact with. L'manda mar bimotam ad shiamut in goseis lo. It's only when he dies, but not a goseis, which is the prohibition. Now, l'manda mar milahe chalo. Now, this is all according to Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this discussion doesn't happen. L'manda mar milahe chalo, but according to the one who says lahe chalo, chachamim haktiv motam, what are they going to do with the pasuk in about Nazir that says that the violation is only having contact with them when they're dead? Motam is therefore a whole different drasha. Tanya Rebbe Omer, and ironically, it's Rebbe himself who provides the drasha, b'motam eno mitamei. You are not allowed to become tamei by contact with the death. Aval mitamei b'nigatam uvizivatam, but you are allowed to become tamei by touching a zav or touching somebody who's a mitzora. Meaning, that's not a violation of nazirut. Nazirut is limited exclusively to tumat meit, and that's it. Well, the man dama bimotam, and now what is Rebbe going to do? Hamibayle the high svara, Rebbe himself, who needed bimotam for the definition of the moment at which a nazir and parallel a kohen must be out of the room. Where is he going to get this far that he himself engineered, which is that the only violation of nazirut is tumat meit and not any other? Imkein le makra bimot. The answer is Rebbe will say that it should have just said bimot, by death. My bimotam, why does it say their death? Shaminatarti, you can learn two things from there. Both that it's only tumat meit that's a problem, and also it's only at the moment of death that the problem occurs and not earlier. Now, lamandam abimotam, according to Rebbe, he's got another problem, aktiv lehechalo. Now we flip things backwards. What's he going to do with lehechalo in the context of kahuna? Lehechalo lahachi hudata, he says for this. Bimisha eno mechulal. It's there for the drasha that we saw earlier, that the violation of tuma only applies to somebody who's not currently tamei, meaning currently touching a mate. Yatzazesh mechulal v'yomeid. A kohen who is touching a mate, has got a mate on his shoulders, and then touches another mate, that's not a violation, because lahechalo, the violation is to profane yourself, to defile yourself. You're already defiled. Ulamandam lahechalo ha'imbayle lahaisvara, and now we flip it back, chachamim, who used lahechalo to define the point at which you can no longer be in contact with the person. Where is he going to get this svara that a kohen who's touching a dead body is not in violation if he touches another one? So im kein lemakra lahachel, again he does the same thing as Rabbi and says the phrasing of the word, the setting of the word, instead of bimotam here, instead of lahachel it's lahechalo, is my lahechalo shaminatarti. You can learn two things from them. Now meitav, we have a challenge to this. Adam eino metame ela achetetzei nafsho. So this seems to support, in the Rish Lakish's world, seems to support Rebbe against Chachamim, who says the tuma only happens at death. V'afilu miguyad, even if somebody's body is chopped up, v'afilu goseis, even if somebody is dying, right? Nonetheless, so we know you're going to die. We know they're a few seconds away from death. Nonetheless, there's no tumat mate if you touch them then. And according to Resh Lakish, the Lehechalo said until the moment of death, meaning the time, even somebody who's a ghost is not allowed to. So the answer is, again, according to Resh Lakish, you're right, you don't become Tame until the person actually dies. But you have violated your Kuhuna, and therefore violated your Nazirut, if you have contact with them, even at that moment beforehand. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and in the next podcast, Mirtz Hashem, pick up from the top of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet, the very first word, and very conveniently, we'll go to the exact last word at the bottom of Mem Dalad Amud Aleph, with a very attractive sugya that we will deal with in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.